Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
We are tonight's entertainment.
You are part of the Rebel Alliance and a traitor.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of Amp Radio. We are indeed tonight's entertainment. Of course, we are always presented by the Amp Radio Network. This particular show we call Proteus's Primetime Show. Welcome to it. I am your host, Proteus. And luckily enough for me, I am joined today by the powerful at Dave, M-M-A-D-D-E-N. It's just easier for me to spell it out, Dave. It's just easier for me to spell it out because it's very tough for us to say. And of course, follow him on Twitter. And of course, you know what, guys? We're going to bring him in with his music. Mr. Madden, are you there?
I'm here, man. How's it going? For the Twitter handle, at Dave, I say Madden, you know, and then just an extra M to make the MMA, you know, so super clever. But thanks for having me so much, Proteus. It's a pleasure, man.
And of course, we're also pushing out the at CalFightMMA and hashtag NorCalMMA, correct?
Yeah, at NorCalFight, at NorCalFightMMA, and I'm just doing all sorts of, as much as I can, you know, covering the region, and there's so much talent out here, and I know people were, you know, gripped to their computers or whatever watching, you know, one of NorCal's most famous, you know, Nate Diaz, but it's just an awesome, awesome region to have fun and playing with MMA.
Yeah, it definitely California, whether you're in the north or you're in the south, you guys seem to be spoiled out there, and that's okay. We ain't hating, but it's good to see. I mean, if you follow Dave's social media at all, you can definitely tell that he's definitely into the know on that scene, and of course the amateur scene. And I believe you do a podcast as well. Can we shout that out at all, or?
For sure. It's just run through a YouTube channel on the NorCal Fight MMA's YouTube. And I just invite people on to meet them. You know, it's like I write articles about them, and then it's a way to say hi in person. And so it's just called NorCal MMA Fight Talk. And yeah, like I said, it's just run through a YouTube channel. You run it through Blog Talk Radio. I never tried that one.
Correct.
But like Libsyn thing and doing SoundCloud and like, I don't know, man, I really like to write articles about MMA. I definitely have a voice more for writing. I don't know if people are picking up on yet, but it's just another format. I talk to so many of the fighters. It's like, why not just record it? So I just run it through a YouTube channel. So yeah, please go subscribe and give stuff a thumbs up.
Absolutely, absolutely. And of course, we were talking off air before we came on. You are the owner of one of the sweetest pressure flips I've ever seen of a gentleman close to my age or maybe older. So let's talk about that for a second, because maybe not a lot of people who listen know that skateboarding is kind of one of my second loves. And the pressure flip, Dave, is probably one of the two sweetest looking moves on flat ground I've ever seen. And if anybody doesn't know what I'm talking about when I say flat ground, it's it's skateboarding that just stays on the ground. You're not allowed to do any flips. You're not allowed to do any no complies. Anyways, Dave, sweet pressure flip. And that, you can find that on your Twitter and on your Instagram, right? Because you put that out, and it was pretty sweet. And that was something that drew my attention to you because I was mad respect.
Nice. Yeah, skateboarding for me, like you shared your passion for it. I mean, obviously, we both love MMA so much. And, you know, in our age, to continue the skateboarding thing, it just doesn't work very well. And so, but yeah, for skateboarding for me anymore, like I hear that, you know, that sound where the tail hits and you know it's like popping up. My ears prick up like a deer. You know, I start looking around and I want to find it. So the pressure flip and the flat ground, like you said, I was always a flat ground kind of guy. The vert stuff and riding the ramps and going to the skate parks, I could do, you know, but I always just like the freestyle on the ground and having fun there. I rode my skateboard everywhere, so I just would mix in the fun along the way, you know. But the pressure flip, I felt like that was always one of these, like, tricks that I could do that not many others could do. And it's not, like, it's not hard. It's not a very complicated, difficult, you know, trick where you need a lot of air and elevation. It's just a slap of the tail. And I just always had that one. I was actually inspired to go pull out the skateboard. And Eric Spitzley, he recently, I don't know how long ago, but he put out a tweet. And, you know, he dropped a sick 360 flip. It was perfect. It was popped. It was awesome. And he tweeted, "I have the best 360 flip in MMA. And I've watched, I thought, well, of course you do. I mean, look at that thing. So anyways, I was inspired to go out there and just play around. So I tweeted out, like, I have the best pressure flip in MMA media. And so anyways, Eric actually, I tagged him on it just for the fun. And he's like, what did he say? Something like, oh, man, I could never get those. Because like I said, they're like an awkward, goofy trick. But they were something people couldn't do for some reason. I had a few of them like that, like an inward heel flip. For some reason, like, my buddies could not do it, but I could. But then stupid stuff like a regular kick flip, regular stance, I was super inconsistent. But like a nollie kick flip, a switch kick flip, you know, I could land those. It was real. I had a weird style in skateboarding, but I had a blast doing it, man. I did it for years.
That's that California life, man. You can skateboard all year round up here in the Great White North. We only get a couple of months to do that stuff. I don't have a skateboard, and we're losing listeners right now talking on about skateboarding on an MMA show, but I'm just going to quickly tell you what I have. I have a longboard, which I call Coheed, and I have a little cruiser, which I call Cambria, because she's much harder to ride than Cambria is. Than Coheed is. So I have two skateboards, but I don't have any skateboards like you have. Those skateboards really scare me because I don't know how to use them at all.
Right on, man. That's funny. Yeah, skateboarding's awesome, man.
All right, so
sure.
Let's shift gears and let's get into some MMA. And of course, as I was mentioning to you at the top, we had a whole list of things that we were going to go through, but yet again, Raging Al Iaquinta comes through with another sweet Twitter message, and he says to the UFC, "Cut me, sissies," quote unquote. So let's just talk about how Raging Al has, in the past couple of weeks, just kept his name at the top of the MMA news. I mean, we've heard it on many shows, you know, whether it be Ariel's show, The Fortnite, or at MMA Junkie Radio. Everybody is talking about Al Iaquinta. So I'll give you the floor right now, and you speak a little bit on what you think about Raging Al right now. Is this good for him, or is he gone a little too far?
Is it good for him? I don't know about that publicity. Good publicity. I mean, it's all publicity, I guess. It's for some reason, it feels different than how Nate Diaz kind of blasts the UFC or blasts Dana White. You know, Nate Diaz just recently on that special with Ariel yesterday, was it? And so he has his beef with the UFC and with pay and all that. For some reason, it feels different than how Al goes about it. Al, he'll get back to you on my take on Al. He's an awesome fighter. I want to see him in the octagon. I want to see how far he can go at 155. I liked him on Tough Live. That's kind of where I go with the MMA love. The other stuff, like his blasting of UFC on Twitter or whatever he's doing, it's there. It's just something I guess we can talk about, and it is interesting that your employee, you know, tags you in a post and tells you where to go.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting in that sense, but it just feels different than how Nate goes about it, where Nate is obviously unhappy, but he realizes, I'm just going to sit the bench. I'm going to ride the pine. I know what I'm worth, and I don't need to tell you on Twitter and blast you. So I don't know. I don't hate Al. I don't dislike what he's doing. It's his thing to do. You know, I mean, he's young still. I mean, he's like, what, 25-ish, right? And I don't know. Maybe maybe it's just that reactionary, bravado that he has. And anyways, I don't hate it. I just don't. I'm not extra sold on it because of it. I'm sold on it because he blabbed Diego Sanchez in the first round, took his lion heart dreamy nightmare away from him. So that's what impressed me with that.
Absolutely. I mean, over the past five fights, Al has not disappointed. And that's the kind of the point I've been making on this show for a little while, is that, you know, he has been doing everything he's been told to do, and he hasn't been getting that love. And that's, you know, as you mentioned, Nate Diaz and the Diaz brothers have been saying this for years, and you're correct, they have been. And finally, there are voices that are picking up the fight. And like Nate said in that interview, as you mentioned, with Ariel Helwani yesterday, Wednesday, he did say that, you know what, guys, and as he's been saying for years, he says, we've been doing this for years, man. We've been telling you that this is the way that it's going to go, and it seems to be going that way. And I like that more and more fighters are feeling able to speak out, because I felt under the old ownership, under the Zuffa ownership, there was a lot of people who didn't want to speak up. And I think that we're seeing that a lot more of that happening. And I really do like that, because as you mentioned with the fighters union, I think that's kind of where we need to go. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I guess even before mentioning the union thing, I guess something else that kind of struck me with Al, even before all of this, he has the bonuses taken away for three fights. You know, he has this penalty put against him. Even before that, I was really pleased to see him on a Gatorade commercial. I mean, I'm watching TV, and I'm probably one of the only people who was like, I went to, you know, I recognized it. But I remember he was on MMA Junkie. This was a while ago. And I tweeted at Goz. I go, hey, man, why is Ally Quince's Gatorade commercial off? And he goes, oh, why don't you ask Al? And I tweeted at him, and the reason I said he's just very reactionary is, as nicely as you can, I guess, I'm like, oh, hey, Al, why aren't you on that Gatorade commercial anymore? And he goes, why don't you ask Reebok, however he tweeted back at me. But that's what I meant. But the union part, man, Nate kind of said it really well, actually, where he thinks it almost kind of like his mindset aligns with the union, but it's just getting this collective of guys to do it all as a collective. It's really hard to picture because of the climate that's been created as you're all independent contractors. Why are all these independent contractors going to kind of like throw it all into one pot without a lot of reassurance and a lot of security? And so anyways, I think to get all of the UFC roster or the majority or whatever they would need to create this union, I think it's going to be really, really hard to get them all on board. But I wish they would, because seeing all these youngsters in the region grow, you know, developing as amateurs, like you said, I see on a regular basis and cover, and there's so many amateur fights in this area. Seeing them develop, and like this one kid, he just won. He's going to go pro. I would like to see that. I mean, he's just coming in, getting it in a union and having that protection. And these guys are professional athletes. Why can't they be given that? I don't know what Major League Baseball gets as a baseline, you know, but they have a baseline. Yeah. You don't come into Major League and have some obscure number of pitches thrown versus stolen bases taken. There's no show win there. So it's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's an interesting situation, and I don't think, I've been saying this on the show for a while, but I don't think anything is going to get done until that class action lawsuit goes through. I think what we've seen with any kind of institution that wants to come out and start a union or an association is being stifled by the fact that there is a lawsuit going on right now, and of course, the MA, or whatever it was called, did receive a cease and desist order, from this party that was putting through this class action lawsuit, and I think that's why we are not seeing that go any further. But let's move on from that, because that leads me to something very dear, in the front of my brain, my mind brain, quite recently. Is the opening of the UFC campus, and anybody who's been listening to this show for any extended period of time or on MMA Junkie will know that I have brought this subject up before, but I think it's very important to keep this in the forefront of our brains. These, you know, we are junkies, we are the people, we're not casual fans for the most part, right? We're going to be very fine-tuned to the news. And of course, Francis Ngannou announced that he is moving from France to Las Vegas to take advantage of the Performance Institute that is, you know, located in the UFC campus. Now, I mentioned this last week Friday, and I mentioned it on Sunday when we did championship rounds with Gorgeous George Garcia. Then I think that the UFC campus and the Performance Institute is really going to change the way that these athletes are trained, the way they go about training, and maybe, and perhaps, Las Vegas and the gyms that are in Las Vegas will benefit from this. But they've all heard this from me before, Dave. Let's hear what you think about the opening of the campus and what you think it could mean to the sport in general moving forward.
Well, I think even we're coming off a talk with this union thing. It seems so backwards in the design where they're opening this beautiful campus where I enjoyed listening to like the MMA Roadshow and hearing like John Morgan keep you updated on this piece. And it just sounds like almost like the Ultimate Fighter on, you know, PEDs of sorts for the pros. To basically, like you said, Francis Ngannou can go and live there and be oversought to make this superhuman being who's going to just kill everything in his, you know, path, which is, you know, even scarier that he's going to be, you know, housed in Vegas now doing this. But I think it seems like an awesome facility, but they're building this awesome facility to closely monitor these guys, again, independent contractors, to... it just becomes like, do they then have to fly themselves to Vegas to train here and be monitored here? Do they, you know what I mean? Do they have to live here like Francis Ngannou? There's already so many great gyms in Vegas, and you're right, they could take advantage of those and get all the world-class training that's available right there in the fight capital. But it just seems like so backwards. Why not... We have this umbrella where yes, you're all these UFC, the best athletes in the world. Instead, we're having cards where every card, here's another UFC newcomer. Here's another UFC newcomer. Here's it. You know what I mean? And it just seems like they keep rifling through until, like, here's a diamond, and we all kind of, like, buy in, and they either shine or they don't. And we don't give a lot of time to do either way. I mean, you better explode like a Connor or a Nate, you know, and Nate, you know, even it's actually Nate, you know, with being on the Anthony Bourdain show and being on billboards. I just saw some posts. He's on some billboard, and anyway, I just seeing him all over the place like that, he did explode. And I think my take on it maybe is like seeing guys like Chris Weidman. He was recently on some, was it King of Queens or something? And that's something my parents would watch, you know, or Ronda Rousey. I didn't see it, but on some show, and from the headlines I saw on Twitter or something, maybe it wasn't horrible. So, again, my parents know who Ronda Rousey is. They know who Conor McGregor is. Conor McGregor's been on the late-night talk shows. They know who Nate Diaz is as the kid in Stockton. They don't really know Nate Diaz, but they know the kid in Stockton. So, you know, anyways, I think getting them more into the limelight of, you know, more mainstream media for people of all demographics, not just the 18 to 34 who grip to this stuff like it's, you know, crack. So anyways, maybe I'm off, but I think it's a great facility, but it just seems backwards to me.
And I agree with you. And there was something that my wife said this afternoon when we were discussing this topic. You know, she said, what's to stop the UFC from, you know, opening their own fight team on this campus? And as I had been saying on previous shows, you know, starting, you know, it's kind of a college for MMA and charging money for it. But as of right now, there is no fight team scheduled to fight out of there. You have to bring your own coaches, you have to bring your own teammates, but you can use, you know, all the facilities, whether it be for rehabilitation or for cutting weight or for, you know, cryotherapy. All of that is for free. And another thing that they mentioned is that if you're in Vegas and if you're using the full performance of the program, that you will actually get all of your meals cooked for you and, you know, tailored to your needs. So I think this is kind of, like you said, a way for the UFC to keep their fighters in check in, you know, Vegas. That is one side of it. I agree with you. But I also think that it's a very good way for the fighters to get better, you know. And I don't know which show it was on, but they said, you know, this particular, it was Frank Trigg talking about the campus on Junkie just yesterday, speaking about, you know, it does cost a lot of money for them to run this program, the UFC, and, you know, we have to give our hats off for them for investing in the sport. But again, like you said, Dave, we also have to be very conscious that they're not taking, you know, advantage of their fighters, and that the fighters get, you know, appropriate representation.
It seems almost like I just like the Francis Ngannou example, because the guy he looks like an Adonis. I mean, the guy, he's a monster of a man.
Yeah.
He kills people. he literally kills people. He kills them dead. And he is a fantastic, he's only going to get more amazing. So maybe, you know, it could be, wow, look at us here, UFC. We feed this beast. We, you know, train him. We make him in this lab. We're obviously the best. And he's already really good. So would we be sold a bill of goods then? I mean, Francis Ngannou, let's put him in a team that has awesome training facilities and could give him a lot of amazing attention. He would still shine. So it seems like maybe one of those things of like, hey, we're going to dump all this into Francis Ngannou because he dumped something into us, versus like a Tony Ferguson, who I'm going to build my own camp over here and I'm going to come and fight your fights and win and get my win and get my show. And maybe I'm off, but it just seems like another way to be sucked into the UFC's mold and their, you know, ownership of you. And if they're independent, how are they so owned? But and that's just how I see that one, you know, because we are going to see more guys going there, and they're going to do well, and they're going to get like the Sage Northcutts there, and you know, just everyone's going to look carved out of marble. And they, you know, there's so many fantastic athletes, and it comes down to also the night. So you could build a Sage Northcutt into everything, and then someone could come in and beat him. So it's crazy to invest like that versus dump it all into one pot, and you know, those who want to go there can go there, but everyone's paid a lot, and top tier guys are given top tier attention. You know, where's Demetrius? I'm sure he's going to stay in Seattle or Washington, you know, and he's going to stay there and train and
absolutely
do exactly what he's done to be the best in the world. He's not going to go live in Vegas, so I wish they would take him on a Twitch tour or something, and if he's not going to go there, let's parade him around this way. So
we like to poke fun of the new ownership, and we like to call them the Empire. So that's why I was playing the Empire theme there from Star Wars. But also, everybody, happy Star Wars Day. You know, may the 4th be with you. I know it's very cliche. It's very niche to say that, but yeah, happy that anyways. Anyways, so let's move on here quickly, because that brings me to another point that we were talking about, that maybe we could tie into the Performance Institute and everything that the UFC is providing for their fighters. Let's talk about Jacare surgery, okay? We saw Jacare quite recently go out there and lose to Robert Whittaker, Bobby Knuckles. And, of course, then he opted to go ahead and take a surgery. So, which, of course, we're not being told when he's going to be coming back. And, of course, Jacare is getting older. He's getting up there in years. But I mean, what do you make of Jacare taking the surgery at this juncture? Of course, his division is a little bit messed up. So, what are your thoughts?
Well, you know what? When you had that on the list of things, I actually didn't dig too much into it, and I saw the pictures of the surgery, you know, several days ago, but I didn't see many like headlines about it. Or so, what's the issue, I guess?
Well, basically, he's had a shoulder surgery, and there is no timeline for Jacare to come back at this moment, from what I'm reading. So basically, you know, Jacare was at the top of the division, lost to Whittaker, and now has taken a surgery that might put him out for, you know, another 6 months to a year. So, I mean, is this the end of Jacare? I mean, has the UFC... you know, done such a terrible job at building stars that they've lost such a large talent in Jacare? Or is he trying to, I mean, he just signed a new contract. We heard that he signed an eight fight contract with the UFC just before his fight. And now he's going to be off until who knows when. But of course, as I mentioned at the top, his division is being held up by, Bisping GSP fight that doesn't really make any sense. So, I mean, I just kind of a commentary, you know, Dave, on the division and a guy who was surging, who had to wait a long time to even get to the Whittaker fight and lost that fight. And now, you know, has he gone off into obscurity, and have we wasted a talent in Jacare? Jacare.
He needed the surgery, though, right?
Yeah, he did need it.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, he needed surgery, and...
But here's the thing. Here's the thing, though, Dave. If he would have won that fight against Whitaker, do you think he would have taken a surgery that would have cost him a year off?
I don't know. What, it looked like it was a shoulder. Was it his?
Right, right. But I mean, I don't know necessarily that it was a thing that he needed to get done right away. It's from what I've been reading is he opted to go this direction. So he could have not taken the surgery, and maybe taken another fight. But again, like I'm saying, was it not worth it for him to take another fight? I mean, he took that Whitaker fight, which was, as it turns out, very bad for him. I don't know. Are we just flushing away star, you know, people that could be contending for titles for you know, the entertainment value?
No, okay, I hear what you. So you were more wondering about the divisional aspect. You know, I think the whole.
Correct.
See, I think what you're doing this thing where you want to make sense of this MMA thing, and the fact that GSP is even fighting, he's fighting. Okay, not only for a belt coming back, which I might have given you at welterweight, like, all right, he's coming back, you know, but he's coming back at a division that he never wanted to fight Anderson Silva at, which I understood his argument at the time. He'd had to bulk up. He had to, and I understand that, but he didn't want to go that route. He's been gone. Now he's coming. It's just the fact that they're granting that. I think that I gave up trying to understand the rankings and who's who and where's where. I think the thing like you were doing, like with Robert Whittaker, and I mean, the guy's the Reaper, and I'm never going to call him that again in my life because of like, what you did, you know, like with the co-main event thing, you know, calling him Bobby Knuckles, and people are calling
Absolutely.
Him Bobby Knuckles, and I think he doesn't like that, but I love it, and I think it's hilarious. The Jacare thing, man, I mean, the guy's got a gimmick. He's a crocodile. He screams at Bruce Buffer. I love Jacare. I think he's a fighter. Man, he's a fighter. He's a little older, what, like 34 maybe? You know, not out of the game, not, or maybe he's even older. I might be misspoken there, but
I think he's 37.
He does seem a little, okay. Yeah, he just seems a little older. Not out of the game. He's fantastic shape in the USADA era as a Brazilian. So
yeah,
kudos to him. And you know, I think they could have marketed him, and they maybe still can. That division is amazing. I mean, come on, Luke Rockhold, and you know, Robert Whittaker throwing himself there. GSP. Well, I don't want to say him, but Bisping, you know, with this amazing comeback story, and Yoel Romero, Anderson Silva. I mean, it's Weidman, Musashi. I mean, it's just an amazing division. And so it's already kind of just a mess. And I think to try to make the rankings, I used to do it, man. I used to try. I used to get really upset, you know, of like, why this doesn't make sense. And I think just being around all these fighters and being around guys like, in this region, I worked really closely with MMA Gold and before really focusing on the NorCal thing, and guys like Max Griffin, the guy, he was like 12-2 before he left the region. Why was he not in the UFC? He fought this fight to be the king of Sacramento. I mean, it was this kind of gimmicky thing in the region with this event, but it was a huge event. It had Josh Emmett on it. It had just this stacked card of the regional stars. Many who are on the UFC, in the UFC now, you know, and so it just blew my mind. Why aren't you there? And, you know, he basically, dude, stop understanding it. Stop trying to get it. It's not about who's the best fighter. It's something else.
Yeah.
So I think hearing someone like that, who I greatly appreciate as just a person, but then, you know, as a fighter, I love watching him. But hearing him say that, he wants to be a champion, but I think he realizes what the game is, and it's such a weird game, man.
Yeah. And I think with what you're saying, I think that that's why this class action lawsuit is very important. And by the way, yes, Dr. Ray is 37 years of age, and that is why I was mentioning, you know, it's kind of, you know, a weird decision for a guy who's 37 to take another year off. I mean, I guess maybe he feels comfortable because he signed a big deal, but I let's move on. I digress. My wife always tells me I say digress too much, but that's just kind of what we have to say here. I have to move on. Okay, so one thing that you wanted to speak on, and I wanted to make sure that we both were on the same page, and we were. There are rumblings of, you know, some older fighters coming back. We've heard, you know, Chuck Liddell, maybe there are rumblings that he wanted to come back and fight because, of course, he doesn't have that cushy UFC job anymore where he's making 20,000 or whatever it was that he was making a month, some ridiculous number of money per month. And you had mentioned to me that you're not a big fan of that. So let's go ahead and get into this right quick. What do you think? First of all, of Chuck Liddell, just the notion of Chuck Liddell coming back. And of course, you know, Vitor Belfort has said that, you know, we should start some kind of, you know, what do they call it in golf? Seniors league. What are your thoughts?
Seniors league. Yeah, I'm not going to sign up to watch a Legends League or do a pay-per-view, you know, for it. It sounds like it's a Bellator. It sounds like it's a Bellator kind of thing, you know. I do wish they would. I mean, these guys have a competitive itch. I don't see the need to put someone who mentally maybe even might be very fine-tuned, but physically you slow down. I mean, we talked about skateboarding. I'm not out here trying to bust into inward heel flips anymore. I might if I did it every day and kind of got myself back. It's going to take me a month, man. You know, let's mark the calendar, June 4th. I'll land an inward heel flip. But that's how long I'm going to need. I think mentally, though, I got it, dude. I mentally remember the motions and the everything about it. But I can't make my feet do it anymore and my legs do it. So, I think mentally a lot of these guys still have it, and they're not going to stop. And why not give them guys their own age, and if they check out and they want to go in there? I love MMA, man. There's going to be highlights to watch, and it's if they're going to do it, they're going to do it. So, but I don't want to see Chuck Liddell come in at 205 and fight OSP. I don't want to see him fight Gian Vellante. I don't want to see him fight anyone in the UFC. I think Bellator's kind of like trying to mix them. You know, they got these amazing youngsters coming in and these amazing prospects out of wrestling. And then they have, you know, the Hoist Gracies who, you know, are still doing it. And so I don't want to see Chuck Liddell in the UFC. And I want to... If the UFC is going to build facilities and make themselves the best, why not, again, just build, pay them millions and just put them all under your umbrella? And that way the wins and losses wouldn't be so devastating. If you, when the Blue Jays lose, you know, I don't know if you're a baseball fan, but, you know, I don't care.
Yep.
But it's, if the Blue Jays lose, I don't know if that's your team, you're devastated. But then if the, right? No, you're not actually, because there's 160 other games. You know what I mean?
Right.
So maybe in the playoffs you might be, but the MMA is like, it's like playoffs every fight. So anyway, if they made a league of UFC and made it a league, there you go. I mean, let's pay these guys millions and then the training aspect, I don't know, but it wouldn't wind up being... See, the MMA fans, they live on these names that live in nostalgia. You know, Chuck Liddell touches on my skateboarding year. He touches on this time where I'm skating through my college campus and doing my pressure flips and nose manualing across whatever platform. And I'm thinking, dude, I can't wait to see Liddell fight this weekend. And, you know? And I guess I'm still doing pressure, but it's very different. It's a different time. I don't want to see Chuck Liddell. But that's what happens. MMA fans go, ooh, Chuck Liddell. Ooh, BJ Penn. You know, and I get it, man. Those guys were so fun, but not against these up-and-comers and not against not just coming in. Don't just join in. Be a part of it then. And it just feels like it's a jump-in kind of a thing versus a real league of fighters.
Right. No, I agree with you on that. It's and I think that, again, like I said, that's why it's important for us to, if they're going to use the rankings, to pay attention to them. But here's a question for you, Dave, and I didn't include this in the show notes, but I was thinking about this earlier today. I know, I apologize. Is the new ownership of the UFC, are they, with this whole Bisping GSP thing, are they trying to give us what we want in the end? Because we have been complaining for years that the UFC has been doing too many shows and they're not being able to promote fights enough. With this GSP Bisping fight, or Bisping GSP fight, sorry, because Bisping is a champion, are they giving us enough time to really get interested in it? Is this kind of a change of what they've been doing in the past? It just occurred to me this afternoon, and I just thought I'd ask you.
Well, I mean, it's obviously a huge change than the past. I think, like Nate said, I kind of believe that the U.S. or the Fertittas and Dana, they had a little whiteboard, and I think their plan read as like one of those choose your adventure books, and they had, you know, this guy's fighting this guy, and then, oh man, it stopped the wrong way. Turn to this page in case of, and then they would do this kind of burrowing through, and a lot of times it would kind of go as they envisioned, you know, and we wound up with guys like Anderson Silva holding the belts for forever, GSP, and the 205 division was this elite division, and look at it now. But the new owners are not visible, so it's always hard for me to pin on them what they are because they're not visible. I still, when we talk owners, I still put Dana White there. Even though I know he's just kind of the spokesperson now, I think I still put him there. And because the WMEIMG, they haven't been visible. Like, I couldn't pick Ari out of anything, you know, and I don't know what he looks like, and I guess I could go look it up, but I don't care enough, and that's maybe the problem, is they're not visible, and then when they just throw something at us, the hardcores, who know almost every headline, you know, or have fun with the little things that pop up in MMA with the fighters and their social medias, you know, we have trouble swallowing it because we're trying to do like you did, where, wait a second, you're messing up my sport. You know, you can't just throw this guy in. And that's what they're doing. And I don't know, man. Are we still going to watch? I guess that becomes the end-all, be-all question. Are we still going to watch? See, the problem for me becomes, if you don't give me a card like 211, if you don't give me one of those, I don't think I'm going to pay anymore. I will watch on Twitter. And I watch Bellator's on Twitter because it's on a delay here. Again, an MMA thing. I live like 2.5 hours away from San Jose. It's on a delay. And so it makes no sense. It's MMA isn't this weird thing that you have to go digging for and mining for. And they're not making it super accessible, and it's all the promotions. You know, Access TV does pretty good, but then I don't think everyone has Access TV. So, anyways, I think it's that kind of making it all there for us. And I don't know, man. I think it's they're not visible. It's in the end the WME. I need you guys. It's and us as hardcores, we've been so used to seeing Dana and seeing the Fertittas work and just kind of imagining their whiteboard in the back, you know, and not ever seeing it. But you know, they did scrums. They did things that were so unique in a sport that is very unique.
No, I hear what you're saying. And yes, it's a completely different game right now. And I do think that the Empire is definitely trying to do things a bit differently, but I don't know, man. It's not looking good from my point of view right now. And you know, like I said before on the show, I'm not an executive, but you know what? Sometimes executives make mistakes. And speaking of executives making mistakes, let's talk about real quickly before, because I want to talk about, I want to do a quick preview on 211, but I want to talk about the UFC announcing that they're going to put out a UFC, 125, women's 125 division, and then kind of retracting that. What do you think about what's going on with that?
Yeah, the way it kind of sounded like was, hey, we want to do this 125 division, like, tested for the strawweight. And then the headlines to me read like and sounded like they just don't know who will be in the house yet or who the division is yet. It didn't really sound like they're taking it back, but maybe I just didn't. Did they literally say, I don't know if they said that. I didn't see that part, but
well, Dana. Dana came out and poo-pooed the report, but you know what? Dana has done that many times before, you know, Brock Lesnar fighting at 200, yada, yada, yada. So, I mean, it wouldn't be surprising to me for Dana just to be, you know, trying to stir the pot, you know?
Oh, yeah. No, if he said no, then it's yes, it's happening. But, no, I didn't say anything. That's what the headline sounded like to me was, they are going to do this tough thing, and then we just don't 100% know all the contestants, and then we don't know who the division will be. I didn't really see any complaints. The 145 division is two people, you know, for the women.
Yeah.
It's two human beings. I mean, what, I don't, yes, if they completely take back the tough thing and say, no, we're not doing the tough women thing, and that comes out for sure, for certain, by someone like MMA Junkie, not Dana White, I will say, yeah. Oh, okay, shoot, that's weird. Why would they do that? Like, the thing is, there's a lot of people, too, they have these connections, and, you know, this stuff doesn't get out on an MMA fighting and an MMA Junkie and a bloody elbow and, you know, they skew the context sometimes, maybe, in the headline, as we call it clickbait, you know, but it's they might do that to us. Junkie, not so much as many others. Maybe I'm just saying that on a Junkie favorable show, but that's my take. Flow Combat also. I feel like they do a good job of just kind of like highlighting the fighter, and I really always appreciate them too. But it seems like they put it out there for a reason. You know, they heard something somewhere by someone. So I think it's going to happen. But, yeah, when Dana White says no, usually that means yes now. So why would they take it back?
Yeah, no.
To stir the pot, like you said, man, to get us into it. I actually texted a number of flyweights in this region. Hey, man, are you in the house? Are you going? You know, I just wanted some insight on it. But they hadn't even heard the news of, like, a possibility of it. So I kind of beat them to all of it, yeah.
All right.
So that was my fault.
Listen, we've got about 10 minutes left, and I know that you wanted to get into 211 a little bit. So let's get into 211 a bit, and of course, this is not a pick show. We're just going to kind of, you know, a week ahead of the show, we're going to preview some of the fights. I don't want to, you know, impede on other shows that we have on the network, but you're very excited about 211, and of course, your media campaign with the box, you know, the cardboard box that you're holding up that says, you know, you know, there have been plenty of memes that have been written, you know, will write for Flow Combat for free tickets to 211 or whatever. You know what I mean? So let's talk about 211 a little bit. So where do you want to start? Please, feel free.
Yeah, well, let's start with UFC 211. It had me so excited. I've just been down on the pay-per-views. I buy them almost just out of, like, the last couple, man. I said, nah, I'm not going to buy them. I even told my wife, who couldn't believe it, you know. But I think as the days tick down, you listen to the podcast, you just want to see some fights, you know, UFC, the pinnacle. I think I just go, all right, you got me. And I hit the buy button. And 211, man, I feel like it's, all right, you got me. You already got me. It had me excited enough to make a cardboard sign, like you said, go stand on the corner in my neighborhood, have my wife very questionably, you know, take a picture of me to do this. But, yeah, we'll do anything to just, you know, watch 211, make it happen, get here quicker. You know, I love the heavyweight title. I'm, you know, like you said, it's on a pick show. It's not bad at all. I suck at picks anyways. But I love Junior Dos Santos. I not become a fan of watching him get his face swole up, but he's kind of like one we talked about, man. I hear his name, and I just immediately bounce back to the very first Fox. He picks up the belt. He did become a punishment bag for five rounds or however many of just being beaten into swollen. His face is different, dude. His face is, he doesn't even look the same anymore. You know what I mean? And I bounce back to Fox 1. So, anyways, I think I do that. Stipe. Stipe's the man. Stipe rules. Stipe all day. But I love that. JJ, my God. I love her. And Jessica Andrade has been doing nothing but amazing things. I can't wait to see that fight. The whole pay-per-view, you know, main card is amazing. Amazing. And I love the Gamebred had me fired up with his interview. He doesn't sound the same in each one. You know, he definitely is thinking about the questions. I know Dominic Cruz gets a lot of praise for that, where he's definitely thinking about what you're asking him versus like a cookie cutter kind of answer. And I loved him with George and Goes on a recent show, and he had me fired up. I think he's going to beat Maya, you know. Oh, sorry, no picks. But I think he is that kind of outlier star where, you know, he's a fighter, man. He's a fighter, but he could be a star. I could see him in movies. I could see him in a TV show playing characters, you know, but he could do that, you know. So anyways, I think on a cool stage like this, and how do you not like Yair Rodriguez and Frankie Edgar? I was down for 211 when I heard that. You know what I mean? That had me fired. That's awesome. That's so much fun. This technical guy versus chaos. So, anyways, man, you keep going down the list. Dustin Poirier. I love Dustin Poirier fights. Eddie Alvarez. Mm-hmm. I always just call it, I don't hate these guys, but I always think, you know, I love when Connor called him, he calls Dustin Poirier peanut head, but I think Eddie Alvarez is more like a peanut head, you know. But anyways, I think that's a fantastic one. I love Poirier at lightweight. And David Branch, you know, coming off of two belts in the World Series. The picture of Jessica Jag, you know what I mean? Aguilar, sorry. The picture of her is god awful, but I had high hopes. I had high hopes for her coming into the UFC, you know, from World Series, wasn't it? So I thought she would perform a lot better. So I always get interested to see her. She's got a ton of experience, and She just hasn't quite shown it what she. Yeah. I think she's done. So, man, it's a stack. I don't know what you think, but I love it, man.
Yeah, no, I don't think that you can argue with the fact that, you know, you've got two really, really high-level championship fights in the main and the co-main event. And I mean, Damian Maia versus Masvidal, we've spoken on this show before. I mean, I don't know why this fight is happening, but, I mean, it's really exciting, right? Like you said, I mean, I'm going to hashtag must watch, you know what I mean? Or would watch.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, and like you said, Edgar Rodriguez is probably the most important fight in that division right now. I mean, if Yair can get past Frankie, unfortunately that puts Frankie on the downturn, you know what I mean? Because Yair is just going to surge and, you know, move on from there. And that's an incredible fight. Cejudo versus Pettis. We've talked about this on the show before, that we think Pettis is the big man on campus that's moving up. I don't know if he can beat Cejudo, but okay. I know this is not a pick show, but of course you're not on our pick show. And shout out to Pam. She's going to be at this show live in Dallas, Texas, being our man on the streets or our woman on the streets. But let's go ahead and get your picks, because there's no harm in that. I mean, like I said, you're not on the pick show. You're not going to sway us either way. So let's start in the main event. You said that you loved Dos Santos, but you said that you got Miocic all the way. So you're gonna ride Miocic. I don't have any odds because the UFC site is not giving us any odds right now, and that's what I try to do on the show, is give the odds. Maybe I'll check Five Dimes real quick, and you just tell us who you got in that main event.
Yeah, I'm going Miocic. He's looked amazing. And Dos Santos, like I said, man, I'd ride that old Dos Santos, and I just think he's going to come out. He's always got that puncher's chance. They all do. Stipe's got amazing, amazing boxing as well, and he's going to hold that belt, man. Hashtag and still.
Hey, you know what? I don't know if I can argue with that at all, and I can't get the odds, so we're just going to not do it right now, because the UFC has let me down. Thank you, UFC, once again. All right, so let's move to that co-main event. Let's get your pick. Let's get your pick on JJ versus Jessica Andrade. What do you got here? Yeah. What's your pick here?
JJ versus JA. I'm not going in alphabetical order. So I'm going JJ all day. I want to see her put on a bludgeoning, as she did against Carla Esparza and Pena or Penne, and I want to see that Jessica or Joanna, Jessica the beast, but I think Joanna steps up. She definitely shines under that pressure. So I think she wasn't supposed to win against Esparza. I think they kind of counted her out, even though she was the champ. I think they maybe thought Penne's ground game again and that experience would have toppled her. But I think going in as the favorite and supposed to be, I think she'll win. She got up against Esparza, you know. She battled the takedowns. And so I think she can do it, you know, for sure.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of what we're all thinking, is that the pace of JJ is going to be able to, you know, withstand whatever Jessica Andrade has to put out. But I mean, that threat of an overhand right from Andrade is just, you know, it's prevalent. It's there. I mean, there's no doubt that she could end this fight in one punch if she connects correctly. And as you said, the takedown game is definitely going to be there too. So as you said, or as we have said, the two fights, main and the co-main, are very intriguing. So let's move down to Maya Masvidal, and of course, I mean, this is also very intriguing. I mean, I don't know. I don't think that anybody in the world is who is an MMA fan is not intrigued by this fight. So, who you got?
Yeah, I think along with the amazing, you know, Champ Masvidal has a top team. I think I saw him doing some back to school shopping, getting a backpack, doing that kind of work. I saw a lot of the. You mentioned May the 4th, man. I loved some of the tweets I saw with people putting, like, May the 4th be with you, and putting Maya, you know, in there as Yoda, holding onto the back. And I love that stuff, man. MMA Twitter's the best. But so I think Masvidal, he's got the best wrestlers, you know, Colby Covington. He's got nothing but top tier talent to train with. So, you know, will Maya be able to get him down? Maybe. I didn't think Maya would do to Carlos Condit what he did. I did not even guess that one at all. I was flummoxed. I was just stunned sitting there. What is happening? But I just don't think he's going to be able to do that to Masvidal. Masvidal's so fast at welterweight. He keeps his power. He's an amazing boxer. He can stave off the takedown, and I think he can keep his distance from Maya. So I got Masvidal.
Yeah, you know what though? You know, Maya is coming down. I think we all forget that Maya has come down from an even higher weight than what he's fighting at now. I don't know, man. It's very intriguing. As you said, Damian Maya has made a backpack of, you know, many people, and what he did to Carlos Condon. I mean, I don't know if we can really judge that harshly, because Condon coming off of his previous fight with Robbie Lawler and the war that was. So I don't know if we can judge him too hard, but again, another very, very intriguing fight. And let's move down again to another very intriguing fight. As I mentioned earlier, Edgar versus Yair Rodriguez. I mean, as I said, this is the most, maybe the most intriguing, because it means as much as a championship fight. I mean, we all love Frankie Edgar. If you're an MMA fan, chances are that you're a Frankie Edgar fan just on the merit of his fights. You know, he is not ever once not delivered. Win, lose, draw, Frankie is, as his nickname states, the answer. But I don't know if he's going to have the answer against Yair Rodriguez. So, Dave, I throw it to you for your pick.
Yeah, I couldn't believe this matchup was made. This was, I think, before Joanna's and Stipe's. I think this one was that first match put out as 211. And I thought, well, I was blown away. I think they are really pushing Yair with this one. He's amazing. I had nothing but amazing. The dude did a bicycle kick in the octagon. I mean, what? who does that? And so I think the spinning stuff is it's fun. I want to see that technical side come out, because I know he can train that and he can get those technical sides. It's that wildness to throw that it's so intriguing. Frankie, the super technical guy. My wife has a lot of family out in New Jersey, and I you know, if we ever go out there, can we go to Tom's, New Jersey, or is it Tom's River?
Like, I Tom's River.
I just want to feel the energy. You know, it obviously creates dudes like Frankie Edgar. So, you know, I just think I love cheering for him. I get that rah-rah America feel via him, via Stipe, you know, via Chael, you know, at the press conference when he said nobody cheers for America. Yeah. And so, I don't know, guys like those, they make me cheer for them, and I just cheer for them. I see, that's what pisses me off is with the downward spiral, like you said, Really? You lose to Yair and it's, you know, your downward spiral? He's not going to beat him technically. He's going to beat him with a 720, you know, something. And so...
yeah.
Yair's got an amazing reach. I think, I mean, 5 inches over Edgar. And so the kicks will be in major play. Frankie's got the wrestling. I just think it's going to come down to technique. I think Frankie has that technique, obviously, with his experience and his been there, you know, caliber. But if it does go Yair's way, like I said, man, it was something more impressive than the Showtime kick.
Yeah, it's a 3-inch reach advantage for Yair. And yes, it's going to be a very, very interesting fight, no doubt about it. Okay, last fight on the main card. Let's get into it. Henry Cejudo versus Sergio Pettis. As I mentioned earlier on, we have had some conversations on this show about Sergio Pettis, and I think if Sergio can get past Henry, everything's coming up aces for Sergio Pettis. So let's get your thoughts.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I like flyaways, unlike some MMA fans. But I like flyaways a lot, and this will be fun. And it sounds like, oh, Dave, you love the flyaways so much, but really all you have to say about it is, you know, let's make sure we don't feed Henry any bad tacos before the fight, and hopefully Pettis isn't watching, you know, car fires, you know, via his brother nearby. But for some reason, I wish that they would kind of flip-flop and put Alvarez and Poirier, you know, in the main card. I guess they get a little play, supposedly being on FX. But I feel like that fight feels more powerful, because the only way that the Pettis fight feels more – Pettis-Cejudo fight feels bigger than the Poirier-Alvarez fight is if Pettis wins, it's a more important fight because Pettis hasn't fought Mighty Mouse. And if Cejudo wins, it's not going to be as big a deal because Mighty Mouse already dismantled of Cejudo. So it's – that's why for me versus the other way, the Poirier Alvarez one, you know, Alvarez is coming off of getting knocked out, losing his title that will never be defended in the world, you know, ever. And so, you know, coming off that versus Poirier, who, you know, the dude is amazing since becoming lightweight, and you know, he wins, he has an awesome look. I mean, why can't you market this guy? Yeah, he lost to Johnson, but you know, he had a great win against, his fights are always fun, I guess is my thing. Win or lose, I don't really care. I always tune in for a Dustin Poirier fight, and, you know, so that's the only reason why I would say flip-flop that. But they're both fun, and they're both, you know, a great way to, you know, kickstart an end of the night, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Okay, so... let's get you one last question here on this particular fight card, not including any of the fights that you've talked about. Let's get you to give us a spotlight fight of the night, because of course James Vick, if you didn't know, now you know, is fighting on the preliminaries, and of course he's always action packed. But let's get your Dave. Let's get your spotlight fight of the night that you is not on the main card. And that you have not mentioned, you cannot use Alvarez Poirier. Spotlight fight of the night.
Gotcha.
Go ahead.
I would go with, I like your pick. I like the James Vick fight. I like the Marco Polo. MMA is so goofy. Like, I like that because I like James Vick. He's a tall, lightweight. He's going to be at home. I like Marco Polo because I can tweet out fish out of water. It's just that stupid. It's serious. Like, be ready for that, guys. I do that every time Marco Polo fights. But I would highlight Chad Skelly and Jason Knight. Chad Skelly will just run across the cage and kick you in the chest, wrap you up and choke you out. And then Jason Knight, he comes out of a sick. I mean, Alan Belcher, I don't know if you ever watch what their camp puts out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I see it on Facebook more than anything, but they put out some sick stuff where, you know, Chaz is amazing on the ground, but so is Knight amazing. Knight will scream at you from across the cage like a Diaz brother. You know, I think people were saying he's the son of Cowboy and Diaz. And so I think that's a great fight at featherweight, and I would definitely spotlight that one.
Wonderful. Well, listen, as I highlighted earlier on, Pam from North Carolina, who is one of the hosts of the show, is going to this card. So if you are going to be in the vicinity of Dallas, Texas, go by and say hello to Pam. I'm sure she'd enjoy that. Dave, I've really appreciated speaking with you tonight. We've done an hour and 10 minutes, and it hasn't felt like we've done 30 seconds. You know what I mean? I mean, it just flowed very nicely. So I appreciate your time, and I've kept you a little bit longer than I wanted to keep you, but if there's anything that you want to promote on the way out or give us, anything that you want to say on the way out, please feel free. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. I really enjoyed being here and getting to, I've listened to several of the shows, and I like the one with George being on recently, actually. I'm a huge fan of the Junkie Show, as you are, and that's why we're probably here. But the NorCal stuff, please go to NorCalMixedMartialArts.com. Connect to everything through there. I recently became, with the NorCal site, a brand ambassador for Represent. That's what Nate Diaz was wearing on the MMA Hour. Get 10% off using the promo code NorCalMMA. And I am also writing the previews for Conquer Fighting Championships. They're the promotion, actually, I got to meet George and Goz in person at. So I would check them out. They're doing awesome stuff. They're connected with Flow Combat. They're a fantastic promotion. Great show out here. And I try to cram that in as quick as I can, man. So, thank you again.
No, you're fine. You didn't have to rush. We got lots of time. We got lots of time to fill. And guys, follow Dave at Dave, MMADDEN. That's right. And you know what? Hopefully we'll see another pressure flip coming up in the near future.
I was just gonna say, man, hey, check your feed for a, I don't want to give away what I'll do for you guys, but it'll be spinny and flippy.
Oh, spinny and flippy. That sounds fantastic.
Spinny and flippy, man.
I love it.
Hey, right on, man. No, that was awesome.
You know what I love?
Great. What's that?
Good. I appreciate it. Heel flips are one of my favorite as well. So if you want to get me hard, heel flips.
All right, man. I don't know if I want to do that, so I might do something else. But
no, yeah. I understand.
Well, we might have to share, we might have to get Eric Spicely on too. Do a sort of a skateboarding slash. Because I think he had a Thrasher connection. I think he was sponsored by
them. Oh, wow.
So that'd be dope, man. I would love to get him on and do something like that and talk skating, because I bet the parallels are very similar between how do you become big in skateboarding and MMA. You know, I bet they're very, very,
no doubt,
very, very close to mind, you know?
Absolutely. No doubt. All right, Dave, thank you very much. I appreciate your time again. Like I said, thank you very much. This was like the time just flew by. So, stay tuned for UFC 211. It's coming up next week. And Dave, thank you very much for your time. Have yourself a great night. Well, I mean, it's early evening for you, right? Because you're 3 hours behind me. So enjoy the rest of your evening.
Right on, man. Thank you too. And I'll hear you on Junkie probably tomorrow.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
All right, man. All right, later.
All right, later. Peace. All right, guys. Well, that's going to do it for us. Thank you again to Dave for giving us his time. It's always nice to talk to new people and just, you know, MMA fans. We're all MMA fans, man. We say this all the time on the show. We're all MMA fans, and we just like to speak to other MMA fans. Listen, guys, we've got UFC 211 coming up on the 13th of this month, and of course we will have Smack My Picks Up edition of Amp Radio coming up live and direct on the 10th, Wednesday, May the 10th, starring Marco from Waco, Texas, brother, Que Pasa. We'll also have Pam from North Carolina. Everybody loves Pam. I don't need to tell you why everybody loves Pam. DJ Tony and myself, hopefully, doing the picks of that week. Actually, I don't think I'm going to be available on that week, so you're going to have to count me out from that one because personal reasons. Anyways, guys, I thank you very much to Dave. I thank you very much to DJ Tony, because without DJ Tony, there would be no Amp Radio Network. And of course, I don't know if I mentioned it, but we have had Dave before on the program. If you want to hear that, go back in the archives, man. We've got lots of shows. We're almost at 300 shows. We're almost at a year, man. We've almost been doing this for a year. We thank you all very much. And you know what? DJ Tony recently told me, and I know I've gone over here, terrible ending. DJ Tony once told me recently that we have a lot of listeners in the UK. And I thank you all very much for listening, because we appreciate you guys listening across the pond. And just like that, guess what? I've talked too much.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Sorry I'm late. I just don't give a fuck.